Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain here with you on a Tuesday night. I'm Scott Tindall. I'm here with the Johnny Gwynn in studio with us.
Hello!
Johnny, happy Tuesday.
Yep, happy Tuesday.
It's Sierra joining in from the New Jersey sound studio. And then Philip on the board with us.
Howdy.
Glad to have the whole team back here together and having fun on a Tuesday night. How's everybody's week been?
Decent.
New. Busy. It's still early in the week.
Well, the last week. Since the last time that we gathered together to share with listeners everything that we don't know about AI and blockchain.
It flew by. It felt like we were just here.
I agree.
It really does. It felt like we had our last Tuesday show last night, and it's already Tuesday.
Yeah, I've been on the road for 8 hours, so.
Woo, yay.
Yeah. Feels like yesterday.
Well, I just came back from a Mystic Society meeting. So.
Oh. Well, we can't ask about that. That's right. So we won't.
But it may or may not.
Yeah, well, even if you were, we couldn't ask about it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
That's part of the lure of Mystic Societies.
Correct.
In,
yes.
Mobile, Alabama. Sierra, do you know what a Mystic Society is?
I do not, but I would love to. It sounds mysterious.
Have you ever seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut?
You wish.
I'm kidding. It's nothing like that. It's the exact opposite of that.
instead, just a bunch of dudes.
It's a bunch of dudes drinking mid-level booze, but we have really good food. So that may or may not have been served.
So. And they may or may not be a part of parading
organizations
during Mardi Gras.
But I like the idea of me being in the organization that is like Eyes Wide Shut.
Well, I bet you do. Yeah.
You know, I have a friend that actually is in that movie.
Is there? Do we even? We don't have one of those.
Not that I don't live. I don't live in those circles. That's for sure.
Yeah. If we do, I think we know somewhere.
Yes. No, that is nowhere close to any circle I would ever be included in or invited to.
Yeah. No. Same. Yeah. Sierra, how was your past week? I know you're trying to get over some funk a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been sick. However, even though it's only Tuesday, it has been one heck of a week.
Oh, it's been a month. It's been a month of a week in AI.
It has. It's been 3 months of a week in AI in a day yesterday. So I'll wait until my segment of the show to talk about a little bit of AI news. But oh my goodness, so much happened this week. I am excellent. Starting the week off right, energized. I'm stoked. The future is right now.
I AI related. My mom asked me a question today about 3D printing. And I didn't really know how to explain the answer, so I just asked Grok. I said, my 73-year-old mother wants to know this answer. What would you say to her? And he gave me this pretty good response. And I said, thanks. And Grok responded back and said, no problem, Scott. If you ever want to confuse your mother anymore, just let me know.
She'll
be wishing she was back in her knitting club.
Smart ass.
LLMs are so great at...
That's impressive.
At translation, not just across languages, but like informational translation. They're so great at breaking information down and catering it to a specific audience. Because I'm sure it would have given you a totally different answer if you asked to help you explain it to like my 6-year-old or to somebody in the tech industry that somehow lives under a rock and doesn't know about 3D printing. And I think that's one of the coolest features of AI is it can help us communicate better as humans.
Yeah, I mean, it did a far better job than I would have of explaining it to her.
So my AI tool I use for podcast summaries, I actually, one of the prompt is for all of my shows that are just general summaries, it's always for a ninth grade education.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, I said write a summary of this episode of this podcast written for a ninth grade audience.
Which means that you have an advanced audience compared to the average American.
Well, I didn't want to make it too little or too high. I thought ninth grade was really good. So, but it's real simple. That's, again, learning how to prompt your AI, learning how to prompt your ChatGPT, and learning how to instruct them just adds more detail to getting the accuracy of the answers that you're looking for.
And it's better texture.
Yeah.
Right? It feels The whole idea here is it's supposed to be customized. And that's the best way to do it, is to give it the details that you need it to customize for you.
I asked AI to explain something today for me at a sixth grade level because I thought I needed a lot of
safer that
I needed
way.
A lot of help. Yeah.
That's fair. In the world of blockchain, we see that Microsoft today, the shareholders voted to not invest in Bitcoin.
Yeah, after they brought in Michael Saylor from MicroStrategy, who is now, by the way, it's going to be in the NASDAQ Unique 100, by the way.
Yep. It's a weird move.
And Microsoft just went ahead and said, we are not going to have a Bitcoin reserve.
Interesting.
Not going to do it.
All right, when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, Sierra's going to give us an update on AI, and Johnny's going to give us his news of the week.
Yes.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. Here with you on a Tuesday night, live on FM Talk 106.5. Or if you're not listening live, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Yep. Excited to have you here with us. Johnny, dive on in and give us some of the news of the week. And you by week, we mean since the last time we were here.
Crypto news of the week. You mentioned Microsoft has, and their shareholders have decided not to take Michael Saylor's advice and to have a Bitcoin reserve, and they voted it down. Oof. I'm not surprised. This is the company that in the mid-90s that was on top of the world, missed the internet. So I'm not surprised that they also are not. They're so far behind on Bitcoin, and now they're even farther behind. Not surprised. The next story is Donald Trump's son, Eric, who is very big into the world of crypto, is confident that Bitcoin will hit $1 million. And Trump's pro-crypto stance has been a major factor. And since the election, 47% increase in Bitcoin since the election. Scott Tindall.
That is quite a bit.
Trump says he wants Bitcoin to 150 early in his cycle,
his tenure,
his presidency, which I think is not super crazy. I think it was McAfee, the crazy guy McAfee, who knew his stuff about Bitcoin, and
John McAfee,
a very interesting character who's no longer with us. He said, "If Bitcoin makes it to 100,000, it will definitely make it to 1 million." So,
interesting.
He said the first 100,000 is more difficult than the 1 million would be.
You know, that's what they say about making your first $1 million.
It's you make your first right. They say hardest. It's slow at first and then all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they also say if you want to make $1 million in a restaurant, start with 2 million.
Start with 2 million. That's one of my favorite jokes. Yeah. Yes. Ripple, XRP has been approved for its stable coin, which if you XRP army out there, which is a lot of them, probably smart, which the big thing with XRP is, this is the rumor, XRP is one of the ones that the banks and national financial institutions have been looking at for years until they had all their SEC problems. Mm-hmm. And this stable coin really gives them a more attractive view. I don't think the financial institutions would want to go into Bitcoin for their tokenization of their assets, but XRP is, I think, more customizable.
Well, XRP moves faster.
It moves faster. And it's also easier to transact.
And it's cheaper.
It's easier to transact.
So it's more like how you would spend your digital dollars.
Correct.
Where Bitcoin is how you would hoard and save your digital dollars.
And XRP, as I said,
I think it's their ledger that is most interesting. The XRP ledger is probably what offers the most value for rapid transactions.
Nice.
What does that mean, Sierra, teach my 73-year-old mother? I think I understand what you're saying, but can you break it down for me a little bit?
The ledger is just where all transactions are posted on the blockchain, and it's able to be publicly audited. All tokens on all blockchains use ledger technology. And it's just what gives blockchain and cryptocurrency the transparency that it has. I didn't do as good as Grok would have done.
No, I thought that's pretty good. That's pretty solid.
And my last story, Scott, I'm about to fire you up here. I can already tell you what you're going to say after I say this. So Howie Mandel's son-in-law was behind the disastrous Haktua meme coin.
Oh, wow.
So if you don't know, Haley Welch, known as the Haktua girl, who has definitely had what I think is her 15 minutes of fame, who has turned into a very lucrative little
career. She's on 17 minutes at this point. Yeah.
And who had a lot of goodwill.
Yeah, she was raised a lot of money for animals.
She raised a lot of money, and she seemed very approachable and very likable. All this stuff, all coming from, you know, I don't know if I can say the word that she talked about.
You can say.
Can I say the F word?
Huh? Which one?
Well, the word for what she talked about.
No.
I can't say.
You could.
It's like Horatio, but yeah, it's with an F.
Yeah, fair enough.
Can I say it?
I don't know if you can say it or not.
Philip, can I say the word?
I think so.
Okay,
you know
well,
I don't think that she, I'll help you out here. I don't think that she ever said the word.
No, no, she didn't say the word, but she talked about fellatio.
Yeah.
That's where Haktua comes from.
Right.
Okay. Well, look, so that's what she does. And she had all this goodwill, and she has this podcast that was up there with Joe Rogan's podcast, all this crazy stuff. Well, she gets involved with Howie Mandel's son-in-law, which is so bizarre to me.
That's just a weird connection.
But it's entertainment people that get into this world and say, I've got this contact. She knew nothing. The Welch girl knew nothing about coins.
Yeah.
So they put this coin out. They launch it. It raises millions and millions of dollars, and they literally take all the money out of it. All the founders take all the money out and so roughly steal.
It's like a 90% rug pull.
90% of all the money is gone from everybody who put money into this Hawk coin.
But look, let's be honest. If you're investing in a meme coin from a celebrity
who is known for
having a hot take on an open mic on the streets of Nashville,
you deserve to be broke.
You get what you get.
That's
you don't
right.
fuss a bit.
And
there's only one meme coin.
Yeah, Doge is the only one, right?
That is Doge. And you know what else? So the founder of Doge very publicly on X told her not to do it.
Of course.
Before the token drop. And if the only successful meme coin founder says, hey, don't do this.
You should probably listen to that guy.
You should probably listen.
Listen to that guy. But again, the whole thing was she could have made millions just being this kind of approachable, likable person on the internet. And now I think she's taken away all this goodwill, and now she's a crook and might be looking at jail time.
May or may not be a crook.
May or may not be looking at fraud. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more complicated.
I do think that she had no idea what was going on there.
Not a defense in a court of law.
It doesn't happen in a court of law. But it does happen to
yes.
celebrities where they get approached by some of the crypto folk that say, hey, we're going to do this thing, and they don't understand it. And why they agree to is something they don't understand is beyond me. But it happens. And I feel like a little bad.
I do feel bad. Don't get me wrong. I don't have zero empathy. I'm just, what were your expectations?
Right.
Help me understand what your expectations were.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's crazier is she then went, so like that evening, she hosted a recorded audio space on X.
Yep.
Which I think was really not a great idea, and some very incriminating things were said. But she ended it really abruptly saying, it was all like the crypto people talking. She didn't say anything, really. The people who helped her set up the token did most of the talking, and they did not do a great job at all. And then she very abruptly goes, all right, y'all, I'm going to go to bed. And it ends the call. And that was like days ago, and no one's heard from her.
Well, I am not her attorney. But if I were her attorney,
right,
I would have advised against hosting an X space in the middle of an SEC investigation.
I don't think maybe she is. As Nick Saban would say, her executive decision skills are not very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the same thing happened to another woman on X who was very popular in the gambling, sports gambling space. She signed a deal with DraftKings, and then people convinced her to do a meme coin.
Oh, goodness.
And it rug pulled, and she lost her deal with DraftKings the same day.
Again, can't be seen as, you know,
can't
be seen as sketchy. I will leave on this one good thing. Bitwise, which I like a lot, and I don't like to do a lot of price predictions, but
right,
Bitwise is actually pretty conservative. But it is about to be 2025, and I always get asked all the time. I was may or may not have been in a meeting mm-hmm. Mystic Society meeting earlier tonight. And I always get asked, what do you put your money in and mm-hmm. what would you suggest? Well, this is pretty good. This is Bitwise's predictions for early 2025. Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana will all reach new all-time highs. Bitcoin 200,000, Ethereum 7,000, and Solana 750. Again, this is not a financial show. I'm just saying Bitwise is on the internet. You can look it up, and they have. By the way, that's just their tweet. There is a very long paper about why they think all three of those coins will reach those numbers in 2025.
Well, it sounds like you're telling people to do their own research, which is
do your own research. And again, this is not coming from me. It's Bitwise. So.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think that it's proper to be bullish on all of these coins as we go into the first pro crypto administration. You know, we've now have someone appointed to be the crypto and AI czar that reports directly to the president and the cabinet, which I think is a very positive step. Sierra, you can comment on it more than I, but the choice seems to have been overwhelmingly positive reviews for the choice. That
I think Eric Trump definitely taken more of a front step on crypto. Currency, he has been. That's where the Winklevoss twins were friends with him, and got talked with his dad, Trump. But Trump seems to be someone that likes this innovation. Again, his first term, he was not pro crypto. He has become very pro crypto, and I think he likes the idea of innovation. And I think he likes the idea of America better be first at this, because if not, we're going to be in a lot of trouble if we're not. And I think that's
if
you ain't first, you're last.
Like with quantum computing.
That's a whole other segment,
which I think Google overshot their landing today.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah, we'll talk about mm-hmm. quantum computing on the second half mm-hmm. of the show.
And my last little bit of – how much time do we got there?
About 4 minutes. Oh, okay. Three and a half.
Last thing, is this will lead into it. College football playoff executive director Rich Clark is not ruling out the use of AI for selecting the college football playoffs in the future.
I mean, look, I wouldn't want to be one of those people that have to be on that selection committee.
Well, and
that sounds like a terrible job.
But remember BCS? That was a formula. BCS was a computerized formula that everyone agreed to, and it wasn't four teams, it was two teams.
Yep.
So I would.
As an Auburn fan, I very much remember 2003 when we got left out.
Oh, right.
It was Oklahoma and USC.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not bring that up.
Well, look, you know, but again, this is just, again, it takes a lot of information, right?
Yep.
So college football with 112 teams, with 12 games and how many championship games, that is a lot of information. It has to be understood.
Yeah.
It has to be parsed. It has to be categorized. It has to be made into an algorithm. So
like everything else, though, how do you feed the LLM? What kind of data are you going to put in it?
But why wouldn't it be, if there's 12 people voting, why wouldn't it be 11 humans and one AI?
Sure, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I'm looking forward to AI umpires in baseball.
I want
a robot to tell me what's a strike and not. So
AI
president, consistency.
Where the human is the meat vessel, and we takes all of his instruction from the AI.
You've been preaching this for 2 years, and you haven't got a counter argument from me.
Well,
against
our
that.
Mayor lost. The meat vessel for AI that was going to be literally said, if you vote me mayor, I won't make a decision at all. I'll only let AI. It was like Jerry AI, and that's what it was called.
Like that.
And he lost. My man, he could have been.
He was ahead of his time.
He was very ahead of his time. He could have been the prototype Jerry.
Yeah, they weren't ready yet.
Weren't ready, yes.
But maybe, you know, we have a mayoral election in Mobile coming up, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm not running as.
What if you run as
AI
the meat vessel?
Johnny? I'm not going to be AI Johnny.
You can be the meat vessel.
I don't have time for that.
Johnny. You could just be like Mayor GPT.
There you go.
Mayor GPT. Problem is, somebody has. Again, I can't control it. I can't set the algorithm.
That's what Sierra is for.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So she'd be the shadow. She's the shadow puppet master.
She's your chief of GPT. Not a chief of staff.
It would be kind of cool if, like, so let's just entertain this for half a second. If you had an AI mayor and, like, all citizens could just interact with the AI mayor at any time, the way that we can in real time with an LLM, then it could, like, collect and sift through all complaints
and transparency.
Yeah.
Hey, Mayor, what did we spend money on this week?
But I don't want it learning from the unwashed masses. I'm just letting you know.
No. They would just be querying the AI.
Querying. It would be smart for a councilman to set up a chatbot, though. That'd be very smart.
Which of our councilmen do you think is going to be the first to set up a chatbot?
I'm sure somebody's got assistance somewhere.
That wasn't a loaded question.
I don't know. I don't, like, Gina Gregory, maybe? Don't know. She's the president of the council. I don't know.
Maybe we should pitch it to her.
Yeah,
Gina Gregory, if you're listening,
yes,
we can help you set up your chatbot.
That's right.
All right. We're going to be sending this segment to Gina tomorrow.
Yeah, and saying, you can set up your chatbot to take all the complaints and all of the questions about your district. It could all be handled by a chatbot.
311 just got radically enhanced.
Yes, correct.
Sierra, 311 is our number you call when you want to report a complaint about a pothole or a crazy raccoon.
My trash has not been picked up.
Oh, wow, you have numbers for that?
Yeah.
Nobody listens here.
Oh, yeah.
No one cares.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about chatbots, because Sierra is going to give us an update on what happened in the past 7 days in AI. And it's a lot.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back into the show. We're here for the bottom of the hour on a Tuesday night, or wherever you're listening to your favorite podcast. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. Got Johnny Gwynn in studio, and Sierra Catalina is going to tell us about everything that's happened in the past 7 days in AI. And Sierra, unfortunately, this is not a 7-hour show, so I know there's a lot of news to cover. But give us your best updates.
I'll give you I'm going to do a 2x speed, so everybody keep up. I'm just kidding. But this week so far, and it's only Tuesday, has been huge in AI launches and developments and drops. Yesterday was like the AI Super Bowl for me. So OpenAI has been doing what they're calling the 12 days of OpenAI. I like to call it the 12 days of Launchmas, but I think I stole that from someone on the internet, can't take credit for it. But during the 12 days of Launchmas, which is not the official name of it, they are dropping a new feature every day for 12 days, although not including weekends, I guess, which we learned over this past weekend. So the first day was last Wednesday. Yesterday was the fourth day. And yesterday they launched, finally, the much-awaited, much-anticipated Sora, the video generation model that takes text to video prompts and creates hyper realistic, really, really high quality 1080p, just like phenomenal production level video clips from a single text prompt. There's a whole bunch of other features with it too. You can direct the scene like frame by frame. You can use an image to generate the video. So you can do image to video generation. I spent the entirety of yesterday playing with it. It is incredible. And I will say for our listeners, like, the day has finally arrived to question absolutely everything that you see. Because now in 5 minutes with a text prompt, I can create video pretty much anything, and it's very convincing.
And we fixed the hands and feet problem, right? That was forever. Yeah. That forever the AI tell was it just didn't do hands and feet well.
Yeah, six fingers.
Yeah, there are still, so like, it depend. I spent all day yesterday playing with it, and I created all sorts of content. Not all of it was human centric. So the stuff that wasn't human centric was unbelievably realistic, like animals and environments, landscape scenes, like moving water on the ocean. It is so realistic. It's unbelievable. But I also played with some prompts that came out so good that I decided not to publish them. I was going to do like a little play on the War of the Worlds broadcast.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about that before in the show.
We have talked about it before, and it inspired me. I was like, what if, to demonstrate how easy it is to like create misinformation, I put like a little stitched together some clips of like news broadcasts and like found cell phone footage and just all different like aerial footage. So I did about like 8 or 9 clips of like a fake alien invasion. Mm-hmm. And I did some cell phone footage, some news broadcasts, some like drone footage of military operations, a crater in the earth, like people's homes with emergency alerts going off on the TV. and they came out, it came out so high quality that I like questioned myself for a second. And I might still put it out, but I got to really make sure that like there's adequate disclosure throughout the clips.
Just let it loose into the wild and see what happens.
Yes, let it loose.
Let it loose into the wild.
Of disinformation.
I think that your disclaimer was here live on the show. You've already told everyone that this is fake. So now when you release it, we'll say, well, if you would have listened to the show last night, you would have known that this was fake. So this is on you for not listening to the show.
We give you permission.
Thanks, Jens. Maybe I'll do it. I just got to make sure that I... So the other thing is, and for our listeners, if you don't know, generative video, though it is absolutely amazing, we're not at a place yet where we're getting sound effects. So it's not totally edit-proof. So I did like the first two clips, and I had to go and do like a lip sync voiceover for the news anchorman, and it came out really good. But then for the rest of it, I was like, oh, I need like sound effects, which led me to discover another tool I'm going to talk about. So 11 Labs, which we've spoken about on the show before. Mm-hmm. Some of our listeners might remember I've cloned my own voice with 11 Labs, and it was alarmingly easy to do. They have a text to sound effect generator. So you just type in what kind of sound effect you want, and it spits it out instantly, and they're pretty good.
That used to be an entire career for people in the movie industry.
I buy those.
Have you ever watched like the films of how they make the sound effects?
Oh, it's mesmerizing.
It's called Foley artist.
It's enthralling.
Foley artist.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should have known that Johnny would know the correct nomenclature.
I wanted to be one at one time.
I knew it.
While we're on this, do you know the story of how they created the sounds for Jurassic Park?
Oh, it was different animals.
Yeah, because they were like, we don't know what a dinosaur actually sounds like. We'll just start, we'll put a grizzly bear with a lion, with a panther,
and a bird and see how
that sounds.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just recently learned that all rain sounds are bacon. Maybe not all, but like.
Oh, that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
You can't hear it once you know.
So I sleep to bacon every night. That makes so much sense to me.
Star Wars, pew, 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 lasers.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It is a high-tension wire from the power line.
Oh.
And they just strike it with a metal.
Like a rod?
A metal rod, and it was pew. Yeah, it makes this pew sound.
Oh, and the TARDIS was a washing machine.
The TARDIS was a washing machine.
God bless whoever's washing machine sounded like that.
They speed it up. They add some reverb. Yeah, and next thing you know, you got yourself some magic.
Yeah, they messed around with it.
You know, this is why I like this show. I learned something every week.
We went from AI to the golden age of early radio with how to make science, how to make sounds for the radio.
Well, you know what, though? I think it's important for people to know to really appreciate what it means to be able to type a text prompt and get a sound effect out. Like, to get your rain sounds that you sleep to, people were cooking a whole bunch of bacon, and now I can just type it.
They did 12 hours of bacon.
Yeah.
No looping. 12 hours.
What a day on set that was.
Yeah. Well, look, when someone taught me Photoshop back in the day, a photographer showed me what's called the blending palette on Photoshop, which, again, any photographer, especially a filmmaker, I mean, a printmaker, would just roll their eyes at. But when they showed me what those tools were in the darkroom, made me understand how to use that new tool on the computer so much better. It was unbelievable to
know. You needed
know
the analog
origin,
to understand the
to
digital.
Understand what a burn was, to understand what a dodge was, all this stuff, what light is. It's amazing. And once he explained multiply, burn, dodge, all that, when he explained it and I could use it in the computer thing, it made me understand how to use it properly or how to manipulate it better. So that is one of those things that I think that maybe we should use as a lesson with the idea of all of this stuff to one, sometimes look at it. Look, that's that idea we talk about currency and Bitcoin. Go look at the history of money.
Right.
It's not, it doesn't start with Bitcoin. Go talk about
It didn't start with the US dollar either.
And shells and where money came from. Monetary fungible monetary theory hasn't changed in thousands of years. It's just the vessel has changed.
Sierra, do you have any more fun AI updates? And also, if we get cut off by the break, we can jump back into it. We had a couple minutes before the break here.
Yeah, I got a whole list of them, so I can jump into a few more. But that was the big one. We've been waiting on Sora for a long time, and it did not disappoint. Also, rewinding back to last week, Friday, before the weekend, OpenAI announced a new model, or they've finally unleashed a model that we had a preview of, which is O1. It's been in preview mode for a couple of months, and they unleashed the full O1 model and additionally launched an O1 Pro model, which they've been catching some flack for because it is $200 a month. But with that, you get, it's their most advanced reasoning model yet, and you also have just unlimited generation. So definitely some usage for enterprise. I signed up for it just to try it out, and I'm glad that I did because with my Pro subscription, I get unlimited Sora generation. Nice. So I could generate as many videos as I want. If you guys have prompts, send them to me.
Yeah, you're I'll your own studio now.
Yeah.
One of my questions with that is, are there different licenses or IPs associated with an account, or could you have a business that subscribes to it and then your whole fleet of employees use one subscription? You know, like we used to do Netflix back in the day before they said, oh, you can only have three people watching your Netflix account at once.
That's how we used to do the ad agency when you had a copy of Photoshop. We just kept eight users on one license.
But you only get to be like, you're beta testing. Like, no, it's not just like, we can't access it yet, can we?
Yeah,
no, you can't. No, they launched it fully. So it was limited access for beta testers, but now all of our listeners with an OpenAI account have access to Sora at Sora.com.
Pretty cool. All right, folks, when we come back from the break, we're going to keep diving down the world of AI, and we may even talk about these things that are flying over New Jersey that no one can tell me what they are or are not.
UAWs.
Whatever. When we come back, UAPs?
UAPs. UAWs. UAPs. Is a union, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right. UAPs. When we come back on Beyond the Block.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks. Welcome back into Beyond the Blockchain. I'm Scott Tindall here with you on a Tuesday night or wherever you're listening to your favorite podcast. Philip on the boards, the Johnny Gwynn in studio, giving us some blockchain updates. And we've got Sierra Catalina 1 updating us on AI. If you missed it before the break, she gave us some pretty good information on Sora and OpenAI's new releases for Launchmas. But she has more for us, Sierra. What else we got on the plate?
There's just so much. So XAI, Elon Musk's AI company that is home to Grok, which lives on X or on the X platform, launched a new image generation model, and it is phenomenal. And this one, they actually built in-house, so it's proprietary. It's their own. Prior, if you were using image generation through Grok, they had partnered with a third-party company. I believe it was Flux. There might have even been several partners. But the new one is mind-blowing, and you now get four outputs with your image generation instead of one, which is super cool. So that happened yesterday also, big day in Gen AI yesterday. And then we had the Fortune Brainstorm AI event was yesterday evening. And this is an annual event that Fortune holds, and they have a bunch of panelists come and speak about new product launches and also just answer questions from the media and address updates and news in the AI industry. But as if OpenAI could make any more announcements, they did there at the Brainstorm AI event. Yeah, but wait, there's more. So my mind was already blown by the Sora launch. And then later yesterday evening, they teased some things that are coming very soon. One of them was their new voice engine demo, which is not dissimilar to what 11 Labs has with being able to quickly clone a voice, but they also have some preset voice options. So 30-second sample to clone, and it was really convincing. If you've not used OpenAI's advanced voice model yet, that's the model that you can just talk to and you can interrupt it and customize the voice you interact with. It's phenomenal. And the new voice engine demo is as realistic as that model. Sorry, you can interrupt me anytime.
No, keep going. No, we're following along.
So something else that they announced that I'm so stoked about is an integration between their real-time voice API and Maps. So the demo was really good because right now if you are dictating, like if you're using voice interaction with your Google Maps or I don't even know if you iPhone people can talk to Maps through Siri, but if you can, you're talking and then it's transcribing what you're saying to text and it's sending it via text. And you can only search so many things on Maps currently. But with the new real-time API voice, you can like chat with your Maps. So the way that they demoed it, he was like, I'm going to Paris, or maybe it was Italy, one of the two. I'm going to Rome. Where can I see Christmas lights? And it, in real time, on the map, like populates a bunch of Christmas lights attractions. And then he interrupts it and is like, I'm going to be staying here and I want it to be within like a 10-minute walk of where I'm staying. And it reloads. He also asks some questions about like food in San Francisco. So
it's the pocket concierge.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
And yeah, to just be able to interact more quickly with these technologies. Like Maps is something we all use all the time. I would love to be able to just talk to my phone and be like, hey, find me, I need restaurants that are open near me and I don't want to go more than 5 miles from my house. And I also don't want any chicken or something like that. Like we can't do that with map searches right now.
It makes me think that when, let's say a hotel customizes their AI agent to be able to do that, right? Just like you would ask the concierge at the desk, like, do you have any suggestions? They may be able to say with your Marriott card, you get 10% off at Denny's or whatever is going on.
But also the minute you use, the minute you go into a hotel, you have to sign into their system to use their Wi-Fi. Why wouldn't you be able to get like access to like that kind of AI tool?
You should be able to get that through their app, right?
When you use
the Marriott app.
Yeah, but you're right. Google will find, whoever will find a way to monetize the mess out of that to be able to say.
Well, I'm thinking like if I owned a restaurant, I want to come up as the, when you say, what's a great place to eat in Mobile?
A seafood place, walking distance from
the Battle House.
The Battle House. Well, yeah, I want, how would I
how
get.
How do I come up first?
How would I get first?
Or where's the great recording studio?
Yeah, it does raise the question of like, do we have advertisements coming to our AI?
They're going to have to at some point to make it free, to keep it free.
Well, I don't think so. So, I mean, it's not free. I'm paying $200 a month.
Oh, right, yes.
So I think maybe we'll move to like freemium models, which we're very accustomed to as a society now. If you use free YouTube, you get ads. If you pay for YouTube, you get no ads. And I think most services are this way today. But when it gets into like your AI, that's a whole different thing.
Well, can you buy off my AI? I mean, that's the question. Like, I think I'm getting unbiased advice, and I'm getting the advice of the highest bidder. What's the best way to lower my cholesterol? Here, take these drugs.
Yeah, Zimafir or Zimblobalan.
Side effects may include terrible things that sound worse than
something leakage. Than
anxiety.
I don't want anything with leakage.
Yeah.
Stay away. Hey, I will say a funny thing about Maps, though. I was going through this. I just keep moving this like thing of stuff in my glove box from car to car to car.
Yeah.
And this must be like 3 cars ago. So I finally cleaned it out. There was a printout MapQuest.
Oh, nice.
Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember.
You'd have to go to your desktop, put in your destination and then print out your your map.
And pray there wasn't a detour.
Right. Yes. But I was like, wow, how old is this? This has to be older than like 2004. That's how long it had been in my car.
I would say, I would say 2000, then 9, when the iPhone came out. Before the iPhone.
It was yes, easily, yes.
Unless you had a Garmin, you know, like the big dash.
I had one of those in 2009 when I was in that band and we traveled a lot. I bought a Garmin. Yeah, a TomTom is what I bought.
Yeah. But before that, yeah, you were MapQuesting your way around the world. Poor MapQuest. Are they still around?
I think it was a Yahoo property.
Jeez. No, they were AOL, I think.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow. Goodness gracious.
Sierra, those were some great updates. I wish we had more time. Maybe in the future, you know, we do a longer extended show. What do y'all think?
Well, we have to keep saying it. I have to build out this secondary studio I keep talking about.
Oh, is that all we're waiting on, Johnny?
That's all we're waiting on. That and about 10 grand.
Okay. Well, we
didn't even mention X and the Willow chip.
We didn't get to
which is the whole thing.
Quantum computing.
Yeah, we didn't get to quantum computing at all.
Which again, look, can I read some of these things? Sure. The way people explain this.
Rapid fire this thing off for us.
You got 30 more seconds.
Okay, current computing is binary, two dimensional. Quantum computing works in three dimensions. That was one of the explanations. Okay, the other one is this one is really crazy to me. It likely means this is what people are saying. Like, can you please explain this Willow chip from Google? It likely means there are unlimited number of parallel universes and the computer is performing calculations in every multiverse at once, returning the correct answer back to our universe.
That doesn't make sense to me.
That's what they're trying to explain what quantum computing is with this chip. So Willow chip X, I think they jumped the gun a little bit because it said it creates in 5 minutes a computer calculation that would take a regular computer 10 septillion years to do.
Yeah, longer than the existence of the universe, right?
Yes.
All right, what a way to end the show.
Yes.
All right, next one, we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we'll talk about more wild stuff. We're done.